Tehilat Zichron Yosef, Parashat Vayishlach.
Good evening, everybody. Parashat Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Dalet. I just want to give you a brief overview of the parasha that we are going to deal with. Here it is, Parashat Vayishlach. Yaakov has already emerged from the confrontation with Lavan at the end of Parashat Vayetze, only to be faced with the frightening confrontation with Esav, from which he also emerges unscathed. There has also been a confrontation during the course of the night with an angel, from which he emerges limping. Following all of these, just a few psukim before Perek Lamed Dalet, it says finally, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. Yaakov arrived at Shechem and he was Shalem, healthy. Asher Be'eretz Canaan, which is in the land of Canaan, the Vohomi Padan Aram, when he comes from Padan Aram, this is the beginning of the end of his journey all the way from the house of Lavan. Vayichan et Nei Ha'ir, and he graced the face of the city. And the Rashi brings the Gemara that says that he did all sorts of things that were for the well-being of the city. Vayiken et Chelka Chasada, he bought the field. This is the second piece of real estate in Eretz Yisrael that is purchased for hard cash. Shem, Ashenot Hashomah Ha'alav, there he had pitched his tent, and he bought it Miyad Hamor Avi Shem, Miyad Bnei Hamor Avi Shem, B'meo Kesito, for 100 Kesito, whatever that was, it was a lot of money. Hayatzik Shom Hizbeach, he made an altar there, and he called out in the name of Kelo L'Kei Yisrael, and here it would seem as though finally, Yaakov Avinu has arrived, El HaMenucha V'El HaNachla, comes the tragedy of Dina. Vateitze Dina bat Leah, Dina, the daughter of Leah, went out, as she older Yaakov, who had been born to Yaakov, Lirot Bivnot Haaretz, she went to see the daughters of the land. Vayar Ota Shechem ben Chamor, Shechem, the son of Chamor, the Chivi, who was the Nisi Haaretz, the prince of the land, saw her, Vayikach Ota, he took her, Vayishkaf Ota, and he raped her, Vayaraneha, and he caused her suffering. There was a sense of torture. Atidbak Nacho, Bedina Bat Yaakov, his soul clave to Dina, the daughter of Yaakov. Vayehav at Hanara, and he loved the girl. Vayedaber alev Hanara, and he spoke to her heart. He now attempts to appease her and make up for the terrible crime that he has committed. Yom Shechem el Chamor Aviv Leimor, Shechem said to his father Chamor, so saying, Kachli atayalda hazot liisha, take this girl unto me as a wife. Meanwhile, the Yaakov Shoma, Yaakov heard ki timeya Dina bito, that his daughter Dina had been defiled. Ubonov hoyu et miknehu basada, his sons were out in the field with their cattle. The hecherish Yaakov at Boam, Yaakov remained silent until they came home. Yetzi Chamor Avi Shechem El Yaakov, Chamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Yaakov, the Taberito, to speak to him. And then Ubnei Yaakov, Bohem, and Asada, the sons of Yaakov, came from the field, Kishamon, when they heard, Atzvuha an Hashem, the people were very depressed, Vayicha Lehem Mi'od, and they were very angry, Ki Nivola Osabi Yisrael, because a terrible, terrible thing had been done in Israel, Ki Nivola Osu, Yisrael, because a scandalous act had been committed against Yisrael. Lishkavet bat Yaakov, to rape the daughter of Yaakov, v'chein lo yeyosef, can't do things like this. Yadavei Chamor yitam leimor, Chamor spoke to them so saying, Shechem b'ni, my son Shechem, choshko nafsho debitchem, his soul longs, desires your daughter. Tununa ota lo liisha, please give her unto him as a wife. And he says it's not merely a matter of them marrying, but what this is really going to create is a relationship of trust and friendship. Vehit chatnu otanu, that's a meshadach zan, you understand, we will marry one another. And watch how he says it. Vinotechem titnu, your daughters, Titnulanu, you will give to us. In other words, the choice as far as which of your daughters will marry us, that choice is yours. Ve'et binoteinu, our daughters, tikhulahem, take anybody you want. Ve'itonu teishevu, with us you will live. Ve'aretz ti'elefneichem, the land will be there before you. Shvu, live here, uscharu, and do business. Ve'hei ochzuba, and settle down over here. Ve'yom eshchem alovi ve'elacha, now Shchem. Shchem speaks to her father and to her brother, her brothers, and he says, "Emtzachin beinechem." Shine, showing you understand, hopes to find favor in their eyes. Hashem tovu elai, whatever you tell me, Atena will give harbu elai ma'od mohar umatan, whatever it is that you want, any kind of settlement money, that none I will give. Hashem tovu elai, whatever you tell me, utnuli et hanarali shar, give me the girl for a wife. The sons of Yaakov answered Shechem and Chamor, his father, Bimirma. Second time we have the word Bimirma in two parashiyot. Yitzchak said to Esav, when he finds out that he had given the brachos to Yaakov, he said, Bo Ochicha, your brother came, Bimirma. And Rashi there says, Bechokhma, with wisdom. Here too, Rashi says, they answered Bimirma with wisdom. In other words, there are times at which Mirma, deceit, is wise. And if you don't believe me, just listen over to last week's shir. We did come up with some hetedim for Mirma. And here it is, they answered Bimirma. They answer with wisdom, and they spoke to the ones who had defiled their sister Dina, which means they are fully aware who they are speaking to. And therefore any mirma that they are saying is because they are talking to people who've done a terrible, terrible crime. Incidentally, I have not yet heard Hamor or Shem say, you know, we're really sorry about what happened. I haven't heard anybody say anything of the sort. By the way, I think that it's extremely important to be aware of that during the entire negotiation that takes place, Dina is being held hostage in the house of Hamor and Shechem. In other words, the Hezbollah are still holding her over there in Shechem, and meanwhile, there are negotiations that are taking place. On the face of things, it seems like very fine negotiations. Bnei Yaakov know who they are dealing with. So they said to them, "Lo nuchal asod adavar hazeh, we can't do this. Latet et achotenu l'ish asher lo arlo, to give our sister to a man who is uncircumcised. Ki cherpa hu lanu, it's a shandan, a cherpa hi lanu, it's a shandan achap, it's a disgrace for us. Ach bezot neot lechem, with this we will be willing to accept you into you come on, if you'll be like us, lehimolachem kol zocher, that all of you should become circumcised. V'notanu et v'notenu lachem, and yes, the deal, yes, we'll accept the deal. We will give our daughters to you according to our choice, that v'notechem, and your daughters, nikach lanu, we will take whom we want. V'yoshavu lachem, we'll live with you, v'hayinu lam achad, we're going to be one people, all for one, and one for all. If you will not listen to us to become circumcised, we will take our daughter, and we're going to go. Their words were good in the eyes of Chamor and the eyes of Shechem, the son of Chamor. We'll read through the parasha, so at least we will have learned a parasha in Torah, and then we will talk about it. The young man did not delay doing this thing, because he desired the daughter of Yaakov. Interesting to watch the reactions of Shechem. All you have to do is just watch the psukim. From the very beginning, immediately after the terrible act. So we have another case in Tanakh, the case of Amnon and Tamar. After Amnon rapes Tamar, there is an instant reaction of absolute disgust and rejection. And he says, take this woman and send her out. And his hatred for her was greater after the act than the love that he had felt for her before. Over here with this Shem, the son of Hamor, just watch what is being said during the course of this parsha. Immediately after the disgraceful act, it said, "Batidbak nafsho bedina bat Yaakov, vayehavat hanara, vayedaber aleiv hanara." What is it that Hamor says? Shem bini choshko nafsho bevitchem. And what does he say now? Ki chafetz bevat Yaakov. All of the terms of want, desire, whatever you want, every one of those terms is used. Obviously, because Dina is a very, very, very special girl. Just a point to remember. Anyway, Vayavol Chamor Ushchem Benoel Shad Idom. They came back to the gates of their city. Vayadavru El Anshei Idom Leimor. They spoke to the people of their city, so saying, "Now watch what they say to the people of the city." Hanoshim Ha'ela Shleimim Emitam. These people are at peace with us. V'yeshvu ba'aretz, they will live in the land. V'yischaru otah, they'll do business. V'ha'aretz, hinei rachmat yodayim with them. And there the land is so spacious before them. Et benotam, their daughters, nikach lanu, we will take unto us. The choice is going to be ours. He's not repeating the deal as he said it in the house of Yaakov. Their daughters we will take for wives. V'et benotainu, our daughters, well, nitan lehem, we will give to them as we choose. He has changed. He has changed the deal. Different deal. With this, they will be willing for us to live with them. Liot la'amechad, to be one people. If we will circumcise ourselves just as they are circumcised, and then miknehem v'kinyanam v'chol v'hemtam, their cattle and their possessions and all of their animals, halolanu hein, they're ours. You hear already who we are dealing with. Achnei otalehem. Let's just do this for them. V'yeshu itonu, when they will live with us. Yishmu el Hamor v'el Shechem b'no. They listened very carefully to what Shechem and his son Hamor said. Hamor and his son Shechem said, "Kol yotzei shar ido v'yimolu kol zocho kol yotzei shar ido." All right, here begins the part that we have to deal with. V'yihi b'yom ha'shlishi. It came to pass on the third day. B'yotan ko'avim. When they were in pain, Yikhu Shnei B'nei Yaakov, the two sons of Yaakov, Shimon V'Levi, Achei Dina, the brothers of Dina, Ishharba, each one took his sword, Payavo Al Hoyir Betach, and they came against the city, secure. They are unaware, the people of the city are unaware of what's going to happen. By Yahargu Kol Zohar, they killed every male in the city. But Hamor V'Shem B'no Hargul V'Yichor Ben Hamor, his son Shem, they killed by the sword. By Yikhu et Dina mi Beit Shem, by Yitzehu, they took Dina from the house of Shem, and they went out. Bnei Yaakov, I believe over here, the mat-up is being done by the sons of Yaakov. The massacre, the Shem massacre, Shimon v'Levi. But then Bnei Yaakov bo al hachalolim, they came upon those who were slain already by Ovozo here, and they plundered the city, Asher Tim Uachotam, that had defiled their sister. At Sonam, that Bekodam, that Kamoreim, that Asher Ba'ir, that Asher Vaseda, Sodel Akohu, they took their sheep, their cattle, their donkeys, what was in the city, what was the field, they took it all. That Kol Chelam, all of their wealth, their children, their wives, they captured and plundered that Kol Asher Ba'ir, whatever was in the house. All right, at least we learned a parsha. The last two psukim, really what I want to talk about. But the last two psukim have to be seen in the context of all that has come before. Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon vel Levi. Yaakov said to Shimon and Levi, "Achartem osi, you have troubled me. Mayim tzlulim are clear waters. Mayim akurim are murky waters. You've made things very murky. Lahab isheni biyoshev haaretz, you have made me odious, a bad odor. Biyoshev haaretz, in the presence of the people who live in the land." Can also be translated, you've discredited me. That's what it means. Baknani u'baprizi,
amongst the Canaanim and the Prizidanim, Etain Nispar, and I'm just a few people, Vines Fualai, they will gather against me, Vihikuni, and they will smite me, Vinishmadati, and I will be destroyed, Aniu Beiti, I and my house. Vayomru, and they said, Hachizono Yases Hachoseinu, shall we let them treat our sister like a harlot? A Jewish girl is Hefka? Never. End of parasha. At this point in the parasha, or at this point of our reading, I would say that we could imagine that the words Hachizono Yaseh Esachoseinu should join give me liberty or give me death. Don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. Ha-ha-bayit bi-adenu. In other words, the great cries that echo across the centuries, here it is, Hachizona Yase es Hachoseinu. Will we permit a Yiddish Mädel to be treated like this? Yaakov remained silent. It would seem, at this point, it would seem that Shimon and Levi have a very, very good point. That's what I want to study this evening. Is this really the great battle cry? What's the rest of the story? Who has the last word? Really, Shimon and Levi have? Who have the last word? No. The last word is Yaakov's. In Parshat Vayechi, in the brachas, Shimon the Levi don't get brachas. Shimon the Levi there, it's worthwhile to take a look at those psukim. In Parshat Vayechi, Perek Mem Tet, Pasuk Hey. Shimon the Levi Achim, Shimon and Levi are brothers, Klei Chomos Mecheiro Teim, instruments of violence, Mecheiro Teim, that's how they gain possession of things. Violent people. Sodom al Tovei Nafshi, in their secret councils, let my soul not be there. Bekoholom, in their gathering, al Teichad Kivodi, I don't want my honor or glory there. Kibah Abam Hargoish, because with their anger they murdered men. Uvirit Sonam, Igru Shor, and willfully they went and uprooted an ox. Oru Rabam Kiyaz, cursed is their anger, because it is fierce. The Evratam, and their fury, Kikashata, because it's difficult, and therefore, Achalken v'Yakov, I'm going to divide them in Yaakov, Va'afitzen v'Yisrael, and I will disperse them amongst Israel. Well, it seems that Yaakov has the last word. One of the questions that we have to ask is, if this is the way he feels about it, and it's clear that this is the way he feels about it, why doesn't Yaakov speak up in this sedra? Why does he permit them to have the last word? Hachizono Yase es Achoseinu? Yaakov should have told them immediately, what are you talking about? They're a chevra murderers. You're violent people. Go into a city and destroy a whole city. The massacre of Shechem. That's one of the questions we're going to have to answer. Why doesn't Yaakov tell them now what he feels? And then again, why does he tell them later? Which leads us to a greater question. And the Ramban asks it. He says, first of all, let's understand, what was the plan over here? When Hamor and Shechem are sitting in the presence of Yaakov and his children, who speaks? It's the sons who speak, and Yaakov is listening, and it seems quite clear that whatever deal they enter into is all with Yaakov's acquiescence. He agrees to it. What was their intention? Doesn't Yaakov know that they're planning some kind of a massacre? What's happening? What is Yaakov agreeing to? So the Ramban says that the original plan was one of the two possibilities. One possibility was they were hoping that the people of Shechem, when they would hear what the deal is and what the conditions are, they would tell Hamor and Shechem
forget it. We're not interested in the whole deal. So first of all, they assumed that it would all fall through. Nothing would ever happen. In the event that they would indeed agree, and they would circumcise themselves, in that weakened state, they would be able to come into the town, take their daughter, and leave. It didn't occur to Avraham. For that matter, it didn't occur to the other son, to Yaakov. It didn't occur to Yaakov, and it didn't occur to the other brothers that a massacre is planned. Nobody planned a massacre. The massacre was the work of Shimon and Levi alone. Which leads us to the next question. The next big question is, how indeed did Shimon and Levi go in and slaughter a city? There are many ways. How did the righteous sons of Yaakov do something like this? To spill innocent blood? So the Rambam brings the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim says the following. We know that there are seven Noahide mitzvahs. Number seven of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach is Dinin, the mitzvah of Dinin. What does the mitzvah of Dinin mean? So the Rambam says what it means is that there must be law and order in every pelach u'pelach, in every city, in every state. It's the responsibility of Gentiles to establish a system of law and order so that people should be able to live side by side in peace. And in the event that anybody breaks the peace, in the event that anybody is going to commit a crime or an act of violence, it's the responsibility of the court system to go ahead and punish. And since the people of Shem did not punish Hamor and Shem for what they did, they carry the guilt of being accessories after the fact. And therefore, since the halacha is that a ben Noach who transgresses one of his seven mitzvahs, the punishment is death, the entire city of Shem were guilty of a crime for which there's a death penalty, and the two sons of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, came in and they administered the death penalty. They weren't going to leave these fellas sitting for years on death row. That's the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds that this seventh of the seven Noahide mitzvahs, dinin, does not mean that they have to judge or maintain law and order. It means that every society has a responsibility of establishing a code of law. They have to have laws that are going to govern business, the relationship between men and fellow men. There are a lot of laws that are required for a society to be able to function. And then the Ramban says, if you want to find aveches by the people of Shechem, they were idolaters, they were pagans and heathens, which is prohibited to the sons of Noah. For that, they would have been deserving of a death penalty. But because they're deserving of a death penalty, doesn't mean that Shimon and Levi are the messengers of God. Who made them the messengers to go in and carry out God's punishment? Let the Rebbein Yisrael worry about that. So we have over here a machloket, the Ramban and the Ramban. According to the Rambam, the city deserved precisely what it got. According to the Rambam, yes, they were very bad people. Ela she'ein hadavur mosur liYaakov ubonav lasod behem din. It's not given over to the hands of Yaakov and his sons that they should be the ones who punish them. So he goes on to say that the people of Shechem were evil, and therefore they wanted to. They were evil on general principle, and therefore it may not have been the nicest thing of all. It wasn't that terrible. They were an evil bunch of people. Shechem has always been makom muad lepuronim. Yes. They hold a Jewish girl hostage in Sodom and Amorah? Did they hold a member of the family hostage? In Sodom and Amorah, did they rape the daughter of Yaakov and hold her hostage? Two different stories completely. Boy, my God.
got out of that.
For a moment, I thought you had me.
You know what I'm telling you?
Hachizono yase.
Es hachoseinu.
Oh, yeah, the Rambam is saying that. The Rambam says, because they did not punish Shechem for the crime that he committed, they are accessories. That's what the Rambam says.
She's their family.
But not the... their sister. It doesn't say a Jewish girl. They've taken our sister. They have taken her forcibly. She's been raped. And there hasn't been a single word out of Shechem. Bush wasn't even able to get a condemnation out of Shechem. You know, at least somebody in Shechem would have said, we condemn this terrible, terrible act. Nobody condemned it. Which means that a city is perfectly, perfectly happy to live with a crime of this sort having been committed. Nobody says a word. Nobody says a word. Nobody says a word that we're dealing with people who are criminals. Hachizono yaseh hakosein. The fact is that, according to the Ramban, he says it here and he says it in Vayechi, that really, Yaakov hoped that maybe as a result of the fact that they circumcised, there may have been people there who really wanted to come tachat kanfei hashchina, under the divine presence. Maybe he would have been able to influence them. He was upset that they slaughtered the city, but tzaddikim they were. I want to take a bit of a different approach. And there are going to be two elements to the approach. The first is based on what I believe is a famous Beis HaLevi. It may not be, but we'll make it famous. The Beis HaLevi was the first Brisker Rav, the first Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. And in Parashat Vayigash, he says the following. You can open up to Parashat Vayigash, that's Perek Memhe. Binyamin has been taken hostage by Yosef. Yehuda comes over to Yosef and he says, Father will not be able to survive if the boy doesn't come back home. Let me stay in his place. Perek Memhe, first pasuk below, Yochol Yosef lehitapek, Yosef was no longer able to control himself. Lechol hanitzavim, I love in the presence of all who were standing there. Vayikra, and he called out, Hotziu kol Yishmael, I remove everybody from before me. Below Amad Ishi Toh, and nobody stood there. Behit vadai Yosef alechov, when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers. Vayikain et kolo bivichi, his voice came out crying, and Egypt heard, and the house of Paro heard. Vayome Yosef elechov. And Yosef said to his brothers, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. Ha'od avichai, is my father still alive? V'lo yochlu echov lanot oto, his brothers are unable to answer him, ki nivhalu mipanav, because they trembled before him. The Beis HaLevi brings a magnificent medrash. Amar Abba Kohen Bardala said, Oy lonu miyom hadin, oy lonu miyom hatochocho, woe unto us from the day of judgment, woe unto us from the day when we will be admonished. Shahre Yosef kotman shil shrotim, Yosef, the youngest of the tribes, when he admonished his brothers in their face, they trembled before him. Al achas kama v'kama. Certainly, when we are going to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he will be mochiach, each person l'fin mashahu, according to what he is, certainly we will tremble before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the medrash. Beis HaLevi asks a number of questions on the medrash. Where did Yosef admonish his brothers? Where do we find Yosef admonishing his brothers? What did he ever say to them? And what's meant by Oilonu miyom hadin, woe unto us from the day of judgment, and Oilonu miyom hatochocho, woe from the day of admonishing. What's the difference between din and tochocho? And if it says in the pasuk that they trembled before him, they trembled because here is a sudden revelation that shook them. The man that they thought all along was the second in command in Mitzrayim turns out to be their brother Yosef. Says the Beis HaLevi the following. when Yosef says to his brothers, the moment at which he reveals himself, and he says to them, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef, Ha'od Avichai, is my father still alive? The question Ha'od Avichai is a rhetorical question. Ha'od Avichai, he's not asking them for the information, tell me, is my father alive, for a number of reasons. Number one, they never answer it. Number two, Yehuda is standing there and pleading with him on behalf of an Alta Tata. The whole plea is, Dad won't be able to survive if we return without Binyamin. So, as soon as they arrived in Mitzrayim, the first thing that Yosef asked is, your old father alive? Ani Yosef, when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers and he asks the question, Ha'od Avichai, this is the sharpest and unkindest cut of all. Do you know what Yosef is saying? Yehuda, you sound so moved and so concerned and so overwhelmed with compassion for your father. Me, you can't tell that. I'm Yosef, and you sold me. Did you care then? How old Avichai? Is my father still alive? He survived it. All right. He survived it. Don't start crying crocodile tears now. The poor old Tata back at home will not be able to survive the loss of Binyamin. I'm Yosef. You can tell that story to anybody else. I'm the one person in the world you can't say it to. Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef. Ha'od Avichai, is my father still alive? At Ibigalat? He'll be able to survive. Nivhalu miponav, they tremble before him, because at that moment, the truth of what Yosef said is so apparent, and there is no answer. Says the Beis Halevi, on the day of judgment, God is never going to confront man by saying to him, why weren't you like that person? Why weren't you like that one? The standard of judgment is always going to be a subjective and an internal one. The Rebbe Shem is going to ask him, no, you gave tzedakah. So he says, listen, Rebbe Shem, listen, I had a whole, a large family. You know, Dr. Chassanamach, you know what it's like in Eretz Yisrael. It cost me a lot of money. I didn't have much money to give to tzedakah. Rebbe Shem will accept it. All that he will ask is, he's not going to ask him, why didn't you give tzedakah like the other one? He's going to take out a whole list of all the narishkeit for which money was spent. You did have money for this, and you had money for that. I'll tell you, when I said the Beis Halevi years ago in America, I was always able to think of narishkeit for which people spend money. Here in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know, I can't think of a narishkeit. I remember the first time I learned the Beis Halevi, they were advertising a fiddle-free TV. It must have been about 20, 25 years ago. There have been more exciting things that have been out on the market since then. The Rishon is going to ask him, listen, you had money for all sorts of other things. Don't tell me that you didn't have money for stuff. The Rishon is going to ask a person, well, why didn't you study Torah? He'll say, listen, I was busy. I was part of the rat race and I had to work hard. I didn't have time. And so, of course, the Rishon is going to tell him that. Why didn't you learn like the other fellow learned? The Rishon is going to take out a cheshbon and all of the hours... all of the hours that were wasted, hours that simply went through your fingers, those hours you could have learned. Yosef is admonishing his brothers by saying to them, you are the yardstick. Now you come to me and you cry about the poor Tata. Where was your concern about the Tata when it was a question of selling me into slavery? So din, law deals with what you did, right or wrong. Tochacha is the yardstick by which a person is going to be admonished. Never going to be asked why I wasn't like somebody else. Question's always going to be, why wasn't I, what I couldn't.
In this parasha, Yaakov hears Shimon and Levi, and they say to him, "Hachizona yaseh hachoseinu." They have the last word because he honestly believes, and they mean it seriously. We can't permit our sister to be treated this way. A Jewish girl is not a hefka. But at the end of his life, something's happened. During the course of those years, Shimon and Levi are the ones who wanted to kill Yosef. Now, at the end of his life, Yaakov turns to them and he says, "That Hachizona Yasas Achoseinu, you went and slaughtered a whole city because they had defiled your sister." And what happens when it was a question of committing a horrible crime against your own brother? You wanted to do it. What happened then? Where were all of the high soundings, Hachizona Yasas Achoseinu? Will we permit a Yiddish kin to be Hefka? If so, then you know what? Then the chances are that your anger and your fury is part of your personality. And if it's part of your personality, then I condemn it roundly, and you're gonna have to make sure that you use it only in the best interest of Klal Yisrael and never against Klal Yisrael. Who is it that Moshe turns to, or who is it that joins Moshe? Moshe comes down from the mountain and he sees Jews are worshipping the Egel. Mila Hashem Eli. Who is it that's for God, follow me? Who joins him and goes through the camp and slaughters all of the Ovdei HaEgel? Shevet Levi. Who is the Kanoi? Who is the Kanoi, the zealot who runs through Zimri ben Salu? Who is it? That's Pinchas. And you know what happens over there? For his kana'ut he is rewarded. Pinchas ben Aaron HaKohen is the one asher heishiv et chamati me'al b'nei Yisrael. He removed my anger from the children of Israel, and therefore hinini no teimo. I give him et briti, my covenant of peace. Kana'ut in the right place, and at the right time, and in the right measure, is something that's praiseworthy. But kana'ut that is out of place is suspect. The kanoi, the zealot, is always walking a very, very fine line. One misstep and the zealousness becomes a crime. If it's correct, at the right time, in the right measure, it's mitzvah of the highest order. In the event that in any way, it passes beyond the red line, the Kav Ha'adam, I didn't say the green line, we're going to talk about that, passes the red line, then it becomes something to be condemned. So first of all, Yaakov condemns them at the end of his life, because at the end of his life, he sees two things before him. He sees Dinah, and he sees Yosef. After the story of Dinah, yes, Hachizona Yasef Hachoseinu rings clear. After the story of Yosef, there's something very, very hollow about Hachizona Yasef Hachoseinu. A second point that I want to make. One that I have not seen the Mefarshim make, but it's fascinating sometimes how the way in which you read a pasuk, just the way in which you read it, I think the niggun or the emphasis can make all the difference in the world. Let's take a look again at at Yaakov speaking to Shimon and Levi. Back in Perek Lamed Dalet Pasuk Lamed. Let's look at that pasuk. It's a most unusual pasuk. Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon ve Levi. Yaakov said to Shimon and Levi, Achartem osi, you have troubled me, lahavisheni, to discredit me, biyoshev haaretz, in the presence of the inhabitants of the land, baknani ubaprizi, the knani and the prizi, vani v'sei misparan, I'm just a few people, then as four lie, they will gather against me, the ikuni, and they will destroy me, v'nishmarati, and I will be destroyed, ani ubeiti, I and my house. I have one kasha on this pasuk. One question. Who wants to take a chance? One question on this pasuk. It wasn't the only question, but that's an excellent point.
Two of you together have done the job. I'll say exactly what you
mean. Number one, Yaakov doesn't condemn his children on ethical and moral grounds. He doesn't turn to them and say, "How did you do something like this?" I mean, a year ago we celebrated your bar mitzvah. You know, Shimon and Levi were 13 or 14 years old. Did I think that my bar mitzvah brother, that was going to be a source of nachas to me and all of Klal Yisrael, is going to turn out to go massacre a city of Shechem? He doesn't say to them, "How did you do it? Why did you do it? How can you justify it morally and ethically?" He doesn't ask them great questions. He seems to be saying to them, from a very practical point of view, you know, whatever you did, you know, we're going to be destroyed. Second point, it's an unusual passage. Why doesn't Yaakov speak in the plural? We'll be wiped out. We will be destroyed. Listen to the pasuk. Listen to how I'm going to read it now. Vayomi Yaakov al Shimon bar Levi, achartem oti lahav isheni biyoshev haaretz baknani uprizi vaani I am mitein esbach. You people, v'neesfu olai v'hikuni v'nishmadeti ani ubeiti. What's going on over here? No concern about anybody else? Everything in the singular. It's such a singularly singular pasuk. I don't know if there's another one like it. Wouldn't it have made more sense for Yaakov to say, "Take a look, look what's going to happen to all of us over here. Look what's going to happen to us all." I believe that what Yaakov is saying is the following. You made a unilateral decision. You went ahead and you wiped out a city. Don't you have a responsibility to consider the possibility that the act that you're going to commit is going to hurt somebody else? Doesn't that therefore make the entire act a criminal act? You have a right to go ahead and just act unilaterally. You're going to go out. You're going to massacre the city. There's another person in the world too. You're not the only two who inhabit the whole world. There's me too. There's an I. One person. What justification do you have for an act such as this when it's going to affect me? I, me, alone, my house, I. Don't you have a responsibility to consider that? Do you think that your act of great zealousness over there loses so much of its meaningfulness because you haven't taken into consideration a fellow Jew? And I'm not just another fellow Jew. I'm your father. At least you should have consulted. Does the Jew have a right to go ahead and commit an act of great mesilas nefesh when he may very well be affecting somebody else in an extremely negative way? That's what Yaakov is saying. Who gave you the right to endanger me? Shaina mesilas nefesh that you have over there. You want to endanger yourselves, b'vakasha, but me? What about me? I'm not to be considered? When you read that pasuk, the way I'm reading it now, do you know what their response of Hachazono Yase Esachoseinu becomes? The great statement of the beginning of the Sedra, the way we described it at the beginning, you know, like, give me liberty or give me death. Do you know what it really begins to sound like? A whimper. The kids have to have the last word. It rings so hollow. It no longer has the great pathos and meaning of Hachizona Yaseh Achuseinu. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that shamefacedly they say to the Tata, "Listen, Hachizona Yaseh Achuseinu," like we sort of had to do it. It was an act of passion. An act of compassion that did not take into consideration compassion for somebody else. General rule. Danger of kanois. The danger of being overzealous. You always have to be careful. You have to be careful that you're not going to be affecting somebody else adversely. Yes?
That's true. But the fact that there are so many first person singulars in one pasuk, when those probably listen, don't we usually do it if we want to impress upon somebody that, you know, what you're doing, the whole building is affected, not just me. Don't we usually say it that way? The whole building, everybody from Koma, Karka, all the way, everybody is affected by what you're doing. And the more you make it, the more people that are affected, you're leaving the impression, me alone, I would suffer. If your kids are making noise all over the building, that's okay. But look at all the other people in the building, old people, young people, everybody is suffering. The fact that he keeps saying a first person singular, one after another, is he wants to tell him that you cannot go ahead and do anything regardless of how high-minded you may be and how great your intentions are, if another, a fellow Jew is going to be affected by it. Yes? So you know what? You know what you're supposed to do? So you know what? So the whole family sits down to a powwow. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisrael, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Yaakov. We sit down and plan what we're going to do. And you know what? I'm going to take you one step further. Huh? Incidentally, one of the Mefarshim says, why does Yaakov remain silent when he hears about it? He doesn't want to take any action that may endanger his sons who are out in the field. This is something that's going to have to be dealt with by the family on a family level. All these questions, I thought that I'm making so much sense. Wait, I still have a final comment to make. Yes? Oh! Their intentions, you're right, their intentions were good. They cared about their sister. They didn't do it out of bloodthirstiness. There's no question about it. But you have to be... You have to take into consideration who else is going to be affected by it. Is that such a difficult thing to... That kind of kanois is by definition bad. Kanois is all great if the innocent are not going to be affected by it. But if the innocent are going to suffer, I'm sorry, Shimon the Levi, I am meichel you your kanois, do me a favor, I'm your father. And incidentally, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. But that certainly is implied and understood. Let's sit down and discuss it. And you know what happens afterwards? Three major wars that Yaakov has to wage because the Canaanian treaty did attack him. But wait, I have... All right, Sandy, I have to make one final comment. Go ahead. Yes? When Avraham went out, he took his men, and he did not cause anybody else any harm. He went out there in order to save his nephew Lot. Incidentally, you were going to learn something else. No, he is in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why I said one doesn't see it clearly. But if you see, look in the psukim right afterwards. He begins to travel through Eretz Yisrael, and the fear of God is upon all of the nations of Eretz Yisrael. Later on in Parashat Vayechi, when he says, the land that I took, Becharbi uvekashti, with my sword and with my bow, he waged wars, three wars. Rashi describes that in Parashat Vayechi. Yaakov indeed emerged precisely as I said he would. He became Yaakov too. And I take a look at the Rashi on Becharbi uvekashti in Parashat Vayechi. Look at the few psukim that come right after it. I just want to conclude with one very, very magnificent of Shamshon Ufol Hirsch. Shamshon Ufol Hirsch says in Parashat Vayechi, after Yaakov condemns them, curses their anger, he says, Achal kein bi Yaakov, Afitzein bi Yisrael, I will divide them amongst Yaakov, I will disperse them among Israel. Normally we read it and understand it as though Shimon v'Levi together in one place are a source of grave danger. We have to divide Shimon and Levi, spread them out, disperse them, because together they will cause a great deal of harm. Samson Farlhurst says, listen, we have to be careful. The word achalek, lichalek, does that have a negative connotation or a positive connotation? Lichalek means to give out shares. You know? Chelek meha uga, you want to get a chelek from the uga? Lichalek is something that is very positive. Lahafitz, to disperse, that's negative. Says Rav Shamshon of Falhurst, and just as an aside, there is this new edition of Hirsch, which is an abridged version, and the abridged version, for some strange reason, did not include this piece I'm going to tell you from Rav Shamshon of Falhurst. I don't know what criteria they use to decide what will appear here and what will not, but listen to what Rav Shamshon of Falhurst says. Yaakov represents the Jew in Golus. Yisrael represents the Jew in Eretz Yisrael. He says, the Jew in Golus is desperately in need of people who have a profound sense of Jewish pride. Without Jewish pride, without a sense of dignity and strength, the Jew in the exile is in grave danger of being lost. Do you know what they need out in the Galut? They need Shimon the ladies. Therefore, Achal came, B'Yakov, I'm going to divide them out and apportion them so that every Jewish community should have a few Shimon and ladies. But in Eretz Yisrael, where there is a central government, where there is a government that is responsible for the well-being of Klal Yisrael, these fellas are a grave danger to the body politic of Klal Yisrael. Where there is a responsible government, then you know what? These Shimon Velevis have to be dispersed. You can't permit anybody to go ahead and act unilaterally. Nobody has the right to take the law into his own hand. In Yaakov, when we're talking about Yaakov, the Jew in Galut, then Achal came, I divide them. So in Galut, there's a great deal of meaning behind what he is saying, so I want to make sure that you know it's not my interpretation, but it is Rav Shamshon of Falhurst. In Galut, where the pressure of our fate bows everything down and the nation itself is torn asunder, there the danger lies that all feelings of one's own importance become lost and the sense of oppression kills all spiritual force and energy. That even the wandering Jew peddling through Europe still look down on the street boys of the various countries with proud feeling of his own value, and he, downtrodden and driven all over the world, still keeps the feelings of the importance of his own person and the sense of belonging to his people, there Achal came, B'Yakov, it was of the greatest benefit that the tribes of Shimon and Levi were scattered amongst the other tribes to give that sense of Jewish pride and dignity. But in Yisrael, Afitze, in a flourishing state of Israel, state is of course with a small s. Shamshon Rafael Hirsch was writing this at a time when he could never have dreamed that there would be a state of Israel. But in a flourishing state of Israel, they are to be scattered. As actually happened, Levi never received any share in the land, scattered around in different places. There, where there is a flourishing state, their political influence was completely paralyzed. You can't have people going off on their own. As long as there's a central authority, everything has to go through that central authority. In a sense, we can take what Rav Shamshon of Falhurst says, and that's what Yaakov was telling them. What do you think? It's Hefker over here? There are other people. There's me. Me. We should discuss. We should talk. You can't go off and do this on your own. Therefore, I don't know, there was a time at which I felt that HaChizono Yaseh HaChoseinu was the great statement that reverberated across the centuries, whose echo we still hear today. It could be, in the event that the Hachazona Yaser Sachoseinu is first of all a concern for all Jews, and also where there is concern that no other Jew is going to be hurt by it. Only then is Hachazona Yaser Sachoseinu the powerful statement that it could be. In this case, Yaakov seems to be saying, no, you didn't take me into consideration. You didn't think of what effect it will have on others. When it came to your own brother, there no longer the Hachizona Yasa Sachosein. You can take the practical applications of this approach. You can sort of do a lot with it. Historically, I can say that the pshat and the pasuk first occurred to me when we had the problem of the underground, the machteret. Who took the law into their own hands? Can't do that. We are living in a state where the state is responsible. In the event that I don't like the way the state is running things, you know what recourse I have? I have the recourse to vote, and vote out of power the ones who I feel should not be in power. Of course, assuming that one of these days we will be able to vote directly for our representatives, rather than have to vote for people who are put up through backroom deals in parties, in your party headquarters. I don't know, I always say that on Long Island, when I would call my local congressman of the 5th district, I got results. Got results. If I wanted something for Israel, if I wanted something for Soviet Jewry, over here I wouldn't even know who to pick up the phone to. Who represents me? Who's going to listen to me? Who's going to listen to me? Who's my Chaver Knesset? That's an effort, but that has nothing to do with the Shir. The Shir ended with Rav Shamshon of Fall Hirsch. Yes. Yeah, I made that comment, and I'll tell you, that comment only occurred to me as I read it this week. Bnei Yaakov bo al hachalalim. So on the one hand, you could say that Bnei Yaakov refers to Shimon Velevi, but I doubt it. I have a feeling that Bnei Yaakov means that, yes, after the fact, they came into to Mappa. Is that so? And I'm only speaking... I'm only thinking of this now. That may be another reason why Yaakov speaks about everything in first person singular. Because if Bnei Yaakov means that the other brothers came and they benefited or took advantage of the situation that had been created by Shimon and Levi, then the other brothers are therefore giving their stamp of approval to what was done by Shimon and Levi. So therefore Yaakov has to say, but one person remains. And that one person is me. And you have to consider how that's going to affect you. And if you haven't done that, then it's kanois that's out of place.
Okay. I'm turning this off.